Yeah, this morning we're continuing a three-part series on the power of men, women, and then we're going to do the next generation next week. So last week we talked about the power of women, right? And we looked at the original Eve, and we talked about how women were created and commissioned by God to further the kingdom, right? So a powerful woman is proactive, she's a fighter, and she champions those around her, right? So I got championed this week. Are you ladies championing each other?
Championing.
Are you being champions to one another?
Yes.
So when we see nice things about each other, when we think nice things about each other, we don't just think them, we go say them, right? Champion each other, because when one of us wins, we all win. Amen? So this week we're going to talk about men.
Yes, the power of men. Manpower, right? Yeah, because men got these, right? The guns. Yeah, so we got the guns out. Sun's out. So last week we talked about a few ways that women were different than men, that we called them superpowers. Y'all remember the superpowers that we talked about that women have? Women actually see more colors than men. Especially more than Ryan. And so we listed a few ways that women were different. And what's that?
Both Ryans.
Both Ryans?
No, he's not colorblind. Oh. He just not.
Good job. Good job not being a woman, right? And so so you might say men have a few superpowers too. Yeah. Did you know that men blink less than women? Yes. All that power, and still they laugh. Mm-hmm. So that men have thicker skin, stronger bones, and more muscle mass than women. Yeah, all the superpower. Men are less sensitive to cold temperatures. Yeah, men are less sensitive to cold temperatures. Yeah, that's why we don't have shawls on. That's why we don't wear shawls when it's kind of chilly. Men are less sensitive to cold temperature. Men's eyes can detect movement better than women's eyes. Yeah, bet you did not know that. I think the greatest superpower, though, that men have that women do not is the supernatural ability to pee standing up. And so that's a big time superpower.
We really don't care.
Okay. Well, don't mock the powers, honey. Don't mock them.
I guess it is cleaner.
It is. Some of the most influential people in my life have been men. Believe it or not, my ninth grade AV teacher, Chuck Lopez, was an influence in my life. He taught me that work can be a lot of fun. And he taught me that work can involve creativity and work can involve laughter. And so it was one of the things I learned from Mr. Lopez back in ninth grade. And then my wrestling coach, Mr. Keith Herbichmeyer. I don't know if you ever listen to this, but how's it going? But he taught me about mental toughness, you know, just about not quitting. You know, I love that about my wrestling coach. And he would push us to the point where we're all grabbing our sides and we wanted to die. And he's like, no, keep going. And so he taught me mental toughness. And so I appreciate that about him. And then my youth pastor, Mike Randerson, he really taught me what it looked like to live on passionate mission for Jesus. And so he is and was a passionate worshiper. He is and was a great leader. And he really demonstrated for me what that looked like to live a passionate mission long before it ever became a mission statement here at Mercy Vineyard.
Yeah, and for me, my high school band teacher was very influential in my life. I do remember his name. I just didn't put it in there.
Okay.
He's really, really good at remembering names. That's his superpower. He remembers names really well. Anyway, my high school band teacher influenced me to pursue music, and he always believed in me, and he always spoke life to me. And there was nothing like if I was like, yeah, I'm going to try out for state, and he's like, yep, and you're going to get first chair. That's just how he was really, you know, he just believed in me. So he spoke life to me. And then, of course, this man right here. Aww. No.
It's Father's Day.
They don't want to see that.
Okay.
He's been my steady Eddie for almost 27 years of marriage, and he inspires me, he encourages me, and he's my partner in crime, and we laugh a lot together, and he actually, one of the things I love most about him is that he provokes me to grow. He really encourages me to grow, and not in a way that's like, come on, woman, get it together, but in a way that's like, you can do this. You can do this. So I appreciate that.
All right. All right. Here's the thing. You can never underestimate the influential power of a man. The influential power of a man is just massive. And there was some research done on the spiritual influence that men have on their family. And so if a child starts going to church first, let's say one of our neighborhood's kids come in, and they start going to Mercy Kids, and their life is turned around, and they give their lives to Christ. So if that child comes in, there is a 3% chance that the rest of the family are going to follow. So 3% chance. If a mom comes to Christ, comes in, life turns around, and she comes to Christ first, there's a 17% chance that the rest of the family is going to follow along and start coming as well and give their lives to Christ. If a dad comes to Christ first, dad comes to church, dad's life turns around, if dad comes to Christ first, there is a 93% chance that the rest of the family is going to follow. Okay? Just kind of let that sink in for a moment, the influential power of men. Because a lot of times, us men, we make decisions thinking they're not affecting anybody. And so if that influence is there in a positive way, it also works in the opposite direction too, right? If the dad thinks it's not important to go to church, if the dad thinks, you know, is not following Christ, if the dad's not walking through, think about the negative spiritual impact that that's going to have on their family. That's why it's so important for dads to model what commitment to Jesus looks like. That's why it's so important that dads are like, we're putting Jesus first. And family, you know, we're going to worship God together. Because they might think that their small decisions to just be lax about their walk with Jesus isn't having an impact on their family. They're dead wrong. And so it's so important. You cannot overestimate the influence, the influential power that men have. They have to live for Jesus in front of their families. And so what does godly manpower look like? We're going to talk about that this morning. Super important today, and it just happens to be Father's Day. We almost never talk about relevant topics on holidays. Have you ever noticed that? Like, it's Mother's Day, and they barely said Happy Mother's Day. It's, you know, it's Independence Day, and they didn't sing Proud to Be an American. You know, so this is a complete accident that we're talking about manpower on Father's Day, but maybe it's a Holy Spirit accident that we can all grow from. And so let's pray. God, we love you so much, and we praise you. And Lord, for whatever reason, you made men to have incredible influential power. And so we ask, God, that we would take that responsibly and that we would walk with you and follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're gonna look at kind of an obscure passage in Scripture today. It's an obscure little story, and it's from the book of Judges. It's two verses long, and they're actually in two different chapters. And so, very obscure little story, and they're found in Judges 5:6 and Judges 3:31. They say this. Good job, Emma. All right. She's new back there, so I got to encourage the newbie. Good job. Good job. So, in the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, and in the days of Jael, people avoided the main roads and travelers stayed on winding pathways. And Shamgar, son of Anath, rescued Israel. He once killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad. Dude's pretty BA. You guys are not impressed that this guy killed 600 Philistines, just himself, with basically a stick with a hook on it, okay? So if you remember one thing this morning, though, I want you to remember this. A powerful man leans in to what matters to God. Okay? Just kind of let that one statement sink in. A powerful man leans in to what matters to God. And so we've got this picture in Judges, during the days of Shamgar. Society had gotten so godless that it wasn't even safe to travel the main roads because you would probably end up robbed or dead and or both. Okay? And it was a bad culture. And if you notice, I don't know if you guys notice that there are things in our culture today where it's almost like wrong is right and right is wrong. And, you know, it's like to say that we champion the unborn, we're called Nazis for that. To say that we stand up for righteous living, we're called old-fashioned and out of touch. And, you know, just it's weird. We live in this culture where it's like wrong is right and right and wrong. It's crazy. It's just crazy time. And, you know, Shamgar was living during a time like that where it was just nuts. It was nuts. And the Israelites, they were worshiping other gods. And so God decided, the Lord decided, you know what, I'm just going to remove my hand of protection from them. And he allowed the Philistines to come in and to oppress and to persecute the Israelites. But there was this one godly man, Shamgar, and he decides he's going to lean into what was important to God. There's some problems today, and I'm going to lean into being a part of the solution. I'm going to lean into what matters to God, what's important to God. He didn't shrink back. He didn't hide in his man cave, which was probably literal back then. But he didn't hide from it, and he leaned into it. He didn't shrink back. He didn't hide in his hobbies. He didn't blame his temperament. He didn't blame his lack of skill or whatever. He didn't blame other things on not getting involved. He leaned in, and what happened is he became one of Israel's judges. He became one of Israel's leaders because of that, eventually saving Israel from Philistine oppression.
Yeah, and our culture tends to encourage men to lean into temporary things, right? So but greater athleticism, which there's nothing wrong with that, but it's temporary. Being better in the bedroom. Making more money. These are the things that our culture encourages men to lean into. But a godly man of power leans into what's eternal, what's going to last. And we need to know how to take steps towards doing this, obviously, because, I mean, we're surrounded by different messages. So how do we do this? And the first thing is, a powerful man starts where he is. A powerful man starts where he is. So there's not much known about Shamgar. Many believe he came from humble beginnings and he was probably a farmer, but we're not really sure. But he didn't wait to become great before he did something great. And you don't have to either.
Yeah.
And this isn't not just men, women too. You don't have to wait to become great to do something great.
A lot of times we do. We want to wait to do something great. We say, when I get to this point in my life, then I'll do this. When I get to that place, when I've achieved these things, and after I've got those things under my belt, I'll do something great. Not like, you know, we don't have to wait to become debt-free to give generously. Okay? Like, we just don't have to wait. You don't have to wait until your life is all sorted out before you start helping somebody else. Some of the people that have really helped me out, like, their lives were kind of a mess, right? I remember when I was, when I took karate, or karate, as we like to say. When I took karate, one of the things that my karate instructor told me, early on he'd say, you don't have to be a black belt to teach white belts. You just have to be a yellow belt. And basically what he's saying is, if you want to pour into somebody's life, you only have to be one step ahead of them. You don't have to be, you know, a millionaire before you can start blessing people financially. You don't have to have it all sorted out before you can pray for and give wise advice to somebody who needs it, right? You don't have to wait until you're fully healed before you reach out to others who need healing. In fact, I've discovered in my life that during the times when I need healing, I experience it a lot quicker when I offer healing to others. Okay? You don't have to wait until everything's just right and you've got all your ducks in a row. Because here's what I've learned about life. Once you kind of got your ducks in a row, more ducks come along. That's just life. That's just how it happens. And if you wait till you got all your ducks in a row, you will never be any good to anyone. Okay? You will never lean into what's important to God. And so you don't have to wait. You don't have to get over your guy introverts that are here with me. I'm a guy introvert. I've learned that you don't have to get over your introversion before you extend godly friendship to somebody. Okay? Because a lot of times what we do is we use our temperament then. If we've got everything else together, we'll start to use our temperament as an excuse. And guys, and I know because I am a guy, it's easy to make excuses. We are the best at making excuses. We're geniuses at making excuses as to why we can't lean into what's important to God, as why we can't serve, why we can't go, why we can't do great things, why we can't make a difference. We are geniuses, right? Too stressed out, not enough time, don't have enough money. Just, that's not my temperament. That's not my gifting. I'm tired, right? So guys I don't know why, we're brilliant at that. But it's easy to make excuses, but a powerful man, what he does is he just starts right where he is. Just right where he is, okay? Powerful man starts right where he is. He leans into what matters to God, and he demonstrates the radical love of Christ because it is radical. It is radical when you don't have it to give away, but you give it away anyway, right? It is radical. That's what love does. Okay.
Yeah, you're right. So
I will be all right later.
So we've seen a lot of men turn down leadership roles or just not want to move into places where maybe God is leading them because then they would be the ones responsible. And it's true. If you become a leader or if you lead, even if it's of a tiny little group, if you start to lead in an area, you're the responsible one. And that's hard. Mm-hmm. But if not you, then who? Right? We can't all turn it down. Yeah. Somebody has to be responsible. And you know what? God has promised to provide what we need when we obey him. So when we do what he's asking us to do, he comes along with whatever we need. And so that responsibility doesn't feel quite so heavy. It's actually not on you. It's on him, the one who called you to it. And so assume when you see there's a need, assume it is your job and reject. And this is for everyone. Reject passivity. Don't be passive. Be active in your walk with God and in your faith because God is calling us all to be active. He's calling us all to make disciples.
What?
I don't know. I thought you had something.
You know,
that's right
I do, then. But it'll just take too much time.
Okay. You had that.
What? Yeah.
No, that's fine.
You know.
So next, we'll move on.
Yes.
A powerful man next uses what he has. So he starts where he is, right? And then he uses what he has. Shamgar had an ox goad. I don't even know what an ox goad is.
It's like it's probably a pole about the size of like a broomstick.
Okay.
And it has like a hook or just a small blade on the end. Not something deadly, but smallish.
To goad.
And they would kind of goad their livestock along.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he had the ox goad, and he slew 600 Philistines with it. So if... Oh, yeah, you say that right there.
Yeah, it's right in the notes, honey. Yes.
Yeah. See? He takes care of me.
That's right.
So... But what we're trying to say is this, it's easy to focus on our lack. Like you're saying, it's easy to focus on the things that we don't have or that we're not able to do. And we use that as an excuse to not lean into the purposes of God. So we think things like, I'm not good with kids. So then we don't want to help in Mercy Kids or help with camp or anything. And if you're truly, truly don't like kids, then do us a favor and don't volunteer in those areas.
I mean, if you just plain hate them,
then please don't. But sometimes people just, they have kids and they like kids, but they feel like, I don't know very many people that really feel like they're good with kids. But that doesn't mean we don't make ourselves available, right? We think, I don't have enough money to help this person out who's struggling. But like he said, we have to look at what's available to us, what's in our hand, because God almost always stretches us beyond what we think we can do. So anytime he's asking us to do something, it's not normally, oh yeah, I've got all that right here. I've got everything I need to do what he just told me to do. If that happens to you, God bless you, because I don't think that has ever happened to me. When God asks me to do something, it's not until I step out and begin to do it that the resources show up. Mm-hmm. That's just how he works. It's like the loaves and the fishes, right? Were there enough loaves and fishes to feed all those people? No, not when they started, but when they obeyed Jesus and started passing it out, was there enough? Yes, there was more than enough. There was leftovers. So God just wants us to use what he has already given us. And we don't like stepping into a task where we're not sure we're going to succeed. Am I the only one? Like, we want to know that we know we're not going to fail. Mm-hmm. But there are no guarantees. Right. And sometimes God leads us into things and we don't succeed. That doesn't mean he didn't lead us there, but he stretches us and he grows us. And we don't have to wait until we know that we're going to be good at something to do it. We just, if God's prompting, or if you see a need, you don't need God to prompt you. If you see somebody that needs help, if you see trash that needs to be picked up on your way, you know, to your car, that you don't need Jesus to prompt you. Just, yes. Just pick it up.
Right.
Yeah. But we need to lean into, because that's how God works. Since he doesn't provide the resources ahead of time, whatever he tells us to do, it's the reason why he does that is so that we'll lean into him. Then we'll depend on him. And he gets the glory. It's not what we did and it's not what we had that made it happen. It's our obedience, and then God making it work.
Yeah. So you just use what's in your hand. Use what's in your hand. And we've said this before. I will say it here. Use what's in your hand to fulfill what's on God's heart. Use what's in your hand to fulfill what's on God's heart. Right? So if you got a phone, text an encouraging word to somebody. Hey, there's something in your hand. It doesn't cost you anything. I'm too busy. I'm too busy to text an encouraging word to somebody, you know. I'm too tired. Okay, just text an encouraging word to somebody. Hey, do you got a buy one, get one coupon? Take a friend out to lunch, right?
Take me out.
Take
me.
Take someone out to lunch. Got a BOGO? Do you have a burden? Pray. 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 Use what's in your hand to fulfill what's on God's heart. Okay? And then the last thing is this. Is a powerful man doesn't need recognition. A powerful man doesn't need, you know, a plaque. Doesn't need somebody to stand up here and go, hey, thank you so-and-so for all of your hard work and whatever. What? Okay? Doesn't need recognition. Shamgar was a hero. I mean, think about it. 600 guys. How BA is that? Right? With an ox goad. And he destroyed them. And he gets like two verses in the Bible. He's not like this hero. You know, how many here, when I talked about Shamgar today, it was the first time you'd ever heard about him in the Bible? Yeah, and some of you guys are like, have been Christians for a long time. Some of you guys have read the Bible all the way through and probably just didn't remember his name, you know? I mean, he didn't get the recognition. Yet he was a hero, right? He was a powerful man. And there was a guy that went to a church that I was a part of years ago. Old guy. And, you know, when I talk about him, he was like one of my church heroes. But most people never even knew who he was. And he was this old dude, and he's kind of hunched over, right? And he would wear flannel shirts buttoned all the way up to the top, and he would wear a little baseball cap and a pair of jeans pulled way up, you know? And his name was Adrian. And he didn't have a whole lot. He wasn't very athletic. Most people in the church probably couldn't have even told you his name. But I remember his name. His name was Adrian. And he leaned into God's purposes. He loved Jesus. And he loved the church. And every Sunday he was at church worshiping. Every Sunday. Like, I can't think of a Sunday ever in the 3 years that I was a part of that church where he was not there worshiping. He just loved the church, and he loved to worship. And I would catch him, you know, he was one of those guys I'd just sort of watch out of the corner of my eye. He just caught my interest. And if there was an empty coffee cup on the floor, if there was a tissue, if there was a little scrap of paper, he'd bend down and pick it up. Just, nobody asked. It wasn't his job. It's not like he was the janitor. You know, he wasn't part of the cleaning crew. But if he saw it, he would just do it, right? And it didn't matter who left them there, even if it was those crazy teenagers, right? Didn't matter. Didn't matter. He's like, hey, I'm going to lean into that. It wasn't his job. Every time there was like a work day or there was a project to be done, he was there. And he'd bring his own tools. He had a lot of tools. A lot of tools. And he would just be there. And he lived off of, all he had was basically like a Social Security check and then a little bit of part-time income. And the guy never missed his tithe, ever. Lived off of almost nothing. And he just started where he was. He used what he had. He didn't make excuses. And he didn't care if he got any credit for it. He was just there to make a difference in the kingdom. And, you know, I would love just like 25 Adrians, you know, just like Adrian. He was just so amazing in that way, just leaning into what mattered to God, that he was inspiring to me. And Adrian, he made a difference in my life by his example. I never told him. So Adrian, if you ever listen to this, he's still alive. You're awesome. Thank you for your example. So he wouldn't care anyway. You know, Adrian wouldn't care anyway. He'd probably say thank you. He wouldn't care anyway. He wasn't doing it for me. And a powerful man doesn't need recognition.
We have to be vigilant against pride. I mean, that doesn't mean, like, when we say be vigilant against pride, that doesn't mean thinking less of yourself. It means to think of yourself less, right? So be willing to learn from those younger than you, less experienced than you, and younger in the faith than you. I mean, if you volunteer in Mercy Kids, I guarantee you at some point you're going to learn something from one of those kids back there. They're amazing. Linda's like, yes and amen. Yeah. You know why? Because they hear from Jesus. And because if we look at others as being, you know, they're hearing from God too. It doesn't matter what our experience is and what their experience is. We can learn from one another. And so we have to be vigilant against pride and lean into what God is trying to teach us through others and through the people around us. And also assume that need that's in front of you, assume that it's your job. Because if we all assume it's our job, a whole lot more will get done.
You know, one of the things that I love about Mercy, we have an unusually high amount of men that work with our kids. Like, seriously, is it over half of our kids' volunteers are men? That's insane. That's awesome. You know, good on you. That's awesome. They're all back there right now. Yeah. No, there's a couple. Yeah, yeah. Ryan and Sean and who else? We got Forrest back there. Yeah. So we just want to pray. All we want to do this morning is just pray a blessing over our men. And a couple of things, though, that before we do. You know, there was a couple of words that our prayer team had, and one of them was that a lot of men, they just work hard. You know, guys work hard. You know, you're at their job 50 plus hours a week sometimes. They're really tired. I guess I can't stand up. I'll stay seated. Because I'm tired. But a lot of guys are tired, and so when an opportunity comes along, what do they say? I'm really tired. That just sounds exhausting. And one of the words that one of our prayer team member said was basically that when we do exhausting things, when we do things that are tiring, when we do things that wear us out, it actually fosters greater rest. You know, guys who are, you know, guys like Adrian, or guys who are just like, you know, I'm going to lean into what matters to God. I don't care how tired I am. I'm going to do it. That they rest really well. They sleep like rocks at night. And so that was just one of the things that one of our prayer team had. And then the other thing, the other word that one of our prayer team members had was that there may be a person or persons here who have some beliefs about being a man, and God wants to set them free from those beliefs. That it's almost like, you know, they need to be let out of the jail or the prison of their false beliefs about manhood, right? Maybe their false beliefs are the three things, you know, the bedroom, the income, and the physique, right? And so that God is saying, hey, that's not my definition of manhood. That's, you know, that's all cool and whatnot, but that's not my definition of manhood. And that God wants to set you free from that. And then the third thing, we got all sorts of words for you all this morning. The third thing was that we want to encourage those to get prayer this morning who maybe your experiences with your dad were just not exactly godly man, right? You didn't have a dad who leaned into what was important to God. Or don't have a dad. Or maybe you were married. Maybe you're here and you're divorced and you were with a husband and the father of your children who just didn't lean into what was important to God. And you need some healing from that. And we want to encourage you to get prayer this morning and get healed from that. And so our prayer team, we'll go have our prayer team go ahead and take their place. And our worship team come. Did you have anything that you want to share?
There's just one little word that went along with that culture gives us, it kind of goes along with what he just said, but the culture gives us so many different messages about what it means to be a man. But God is wanting you this morning, if you're just struggling with what that means to be a man, he wants you to focus on what he says it means to be a man. So, and that, and also women, if you are here and along with the pain of maybe not having a good relationship with your father or a previous husband, but even if you're married now and the father of your children you feel frustrated with or disappointed in, I encourage you to get prayer, because God can bring healing in amazing, incredible ways. So.
All right, so let's do this. Let's have our men stand, and I just want to pray for you. And my apologies, men, if you are leaving here today a little sore in the shorts. But sometimes that's how God speaks to us, and that's okay. But let me just pray for all the men. I don't care if you're a dad or not, but men, just go ahead and stand up, and let me pray for you, pray a blessing over you. Heavenly Father, I pray for our men this morning. And we thank you, God, that you have put incredible, mind-blowing power of influence. God, by our example, by our actions, by our words, for one reason or another, God, you have wired your creation, your people, to be influenced powerfully by men. And God, we ask that we, men, would take that influence seriously. We would not make a joke out of it. We would not brush that off. But God, that we would lean into what matters to you. We would lean into what's important to you. God, that we would start right where we are, God, and use what we have and not expect anything in return, God. God, that we would be men who reflect your love, who reflect your strength, God, who reflect your compassion. God, bless these men. Bless these men, God. Bless them. Bless them. God, I just speak blessings of energy, blessings of strength, blessings of wisdom, God. Blessings, God, to see as you see and hear as you hear. Blessings, God, of provision. Blessings. Speak blessings over our men. God, it's for your glory, for your honor, for your power, for your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Why don't you all stand?